If you want to come forward, we're going to start our Sunday school. Hello, everyone. Fix my glasses. Just opening the word of prayer here while everyone gets settled. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and for your word of truth, that we can just glean on your word, Lord, that it never returns void and it establishes that which you commit to it. Lord, we commit this word today to our hearts. Lord, that we expect to have good things and see results from learning your word. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. So if you were here last week, you remember that we looked at some scriptures that talked about what we receive as believers in Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. We saw that we are new creation. We're called the children of God, and we're redeemed from sin and shame and no longer under condemnation. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and our citizenship is in heaven. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and we have his power, all because of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. The Holy Spirit, he lives in us. In Romans 10 and 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's with your mouth. I just think it's so incredible when you think, when we read, like, 1 John, when it talks, in John, in the first chapter, it talks, he spoke the word, and all of creation came into being, and we speak the word of Jesus Christ, that we have salvation. So it shows how important the word of God is in our life, and when we're sharing it and speaking it. So I just wanted to look at a few more scriptures today that of who we are, and they were given, like, just because of God's grace and mercy toward mankind. And so I like the book of John, so it was fun when Wendell was doing that. But chapter 15 is such a good chapter, but I'm only going to read the verse 15, but I want to encourage you to do homework and read chapter 15. But it says, I no longer call you servant, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Everything. Jesus kept no secrets from us. Everything he learned, everything the Father spoke to him, he shared with us. And he didn't do anything unless he was directed by the Father in his walk on earth. When you go through scriptures and you see that, he said, I do what the Father tells me to do. I do the will of the Father. It's interesting is in Matthew chapter 24, and the disciples were talking, and they're, and this is about end times, and they're wanting to know, like, well, when is that? When, what's going to happen, and how are we going to know? And it's the one thing that even Jesus didn't know. And it says that only God the Father knows the date of the end times. But see, we're still curious even today. It's like, okay, we don't, Jesus, you didn't tell us this. And it's like, but I'll tell you when you come. It's just to be ready, right? But Jesus says, I'm his friend. And he's given me all the information that I need to live today. Even if I don't know when it ends, I just know I need to live in such a way that I'm ready for the end. And then, so then in Peter 1 and 3, he wrote, his divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So see, I don't need to know everything, because I already have everything I need to live in life and godliness. because of the knowledge of Jesus. Pardon? 1 Peter 1:3. So it's just so when you're struggling and we're walking through life and it doesn't seem like so normal, it's like, no, Satan, I got everything. I got everything. He's given me everything I need for life and godliness. Now, I don't know. I'm sure you can say with me, I don't always see that manifest in my life. But it's a goal. And it's like, if it's in the Word of God, then it's true for me. And so I need to get that from my head to my heart to know that, no, I have that. It's just so good. And it's, he called us by his own glory and goodness. Like, we're called by glory and goodness. We're not called by just some strange thing, but we have to just see, acknowledge Jesus for who he is. In Philippians 2:5, in our relationship with others, it says, in our relationship with others, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. This chapter, the whole chapter, talks about us imitating Jesus in his humility, in being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and of one mind. And when I was going through Philippians and reading about our relationship with others, it reminded me of an old chorus, and some of us have been around for a lot of time. But the old chorus, we are one in the spirit, we are one in the Lord. And it repeats and it says, and we pray that all unity will one day be restored. And they'll know that we're Christians by our love. Then we'll walk with each other and we'll walk side by side and we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. We'll walk with each other. We'll walk side by side. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. The song came to me this week really strongly when you're seeing things on Facebook and California's going through this horrendous wildfire and just another disaster that's happening in the world, and you're seeing Christians posting about, oh, praise God, that's his judgment on California. And it's like, that, if you believe that, that is an absolute lie of the devil. That is not God's judgment, not now, not ever. And when Christians start to speak those lies, it takes away from the fact that they're going to know we are Christians by our love. They're going to know we are Christians and believers in Christ because how we walk, how we talk, what we do, and in our unity. And so it just breaks my heart when I see that craziness, that crazy speaking. No, Jesus took it. Jesus took every judgment to the cross. And so to say that God is doing this to California, it's like, well, there's Christians that live in California. So it's like, so what are those people thinking? It's like, God just burned my house down? Like, that's just evil. It's just a lie. And we just need to be wise about that, because that's not who we're called to be. We're called to have the mind, and we have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to be imitating him. And in no way did we see Jesus ever, ever destroy anything. He brought life everywhere he went. He brought healing. He brought truth. He brought life. And we need to be strong in that. So I hope this little song goes through your head all week. Like how that does, like worship does that, right? All of a sudden you're singing that song you sang at worship. But we are one in the spirit. And we guard each man's dignity. We save their pride. We walk side by side to share that God's in our land. Not destruction, not evil, but hope. We're to bring hope, that hope of Jesus Christ. Paul even spoke in Corinthians, talking to the Corinthians, saying in 2:16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that you should be able to instruct him?" But he repeats, "But we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ." Well, sometimes I gotta really look deep to find that, because I don't always know. But the truth of the matter is, we're growing. We're growing every single day. But how often through the day do you think, God, I have no way to, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. I just need your help. And then you have the answer to how to do that. Like the mind of Christ. We have supernatural intelligence. We have the mind of Christ in us. But it's because I have the Holy Spirit living in me. Everybody out there doesn't get to know that. They don't have the Holy Spirit living in them. We need to know that you're God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you. Paul questioned the Corinthians, do you not know your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And that's 1 Corinthians 6:19. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We are the walking, breathing of God on this earth. We are the representation of heaven on earth. Sometimes I know in my life, I fall short of being a very good representative. I might be a cloudy day. But it's the truth of that matter is Holy Spirit's in us. He's our support. He is the Spirit, the comforter. He's my teacher. He's my helper. He's so much more. He directs me. He gives us, he leads us in all things. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. The Holy Spirit gives us the desire to do what pleases God. He helps us to fight sin. He empowers us to love others. And he assures us that we belong to God. So the Holy Spirit is much more than we think. And unfortunately, we know in some places they don't dwell on much of Holy Spirit. But we want to say he's welcome in this place, and he's welcome. He's in our lives. But when you're struggling and you're not able to do it, and you're feeling like you're not able to overwin, to deal with sin in your life and those things, the Holy Spirit has us. Remember the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All of those things. Self-discipline is mine, and I deal with, like, but love, joy, what are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Yeah, see, self-control. Well, but I did pretty good so far on self-control, so we're working on it. But there's so many things. Patience. Everyone said, don't pray for patience because you'll get trial. Well, that was a foolish thing. You won't get to trial just because you're praying for patience. You're already in trials. That's why you're praying for patience. So, but it's like, yeah, you just need to remember that. Remember that you have so much. We're just not saved. We're embodied and enabled to live our salvation. Like, that's incredible. Every day. So every day, it's like, I may get up and feel like, no, I don't want to do this. But I need to say, God, I have the strength. You've given me the strength for each day to be able to do this. Remembering the word, remembering how to do that. It doesn't mean that we won't be sad. But what did he say? When we mourn, the comforter comes. Blessed are they that mourn, for they would be comforted. All of those things, there's a flip side to every emotion or everything that we feel, that you can change the direction in your heart. The biggest thing, too, is he assures us, Holy Spirit assures us that we belong. He helps when you're weak. He intercedes for us with wordless groaning. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. Jesus is making intercession, and Holy Spirit is groaning, making sure the needs in my life are met and ministering to me, helping me walk, to do whatever. He brings us into that communion with and fellowship, not with just each other, but in the triune function of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, brings it all together. So that we're together and with them. Romans 8 and 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to him. So all of us here know we have the Spirit of God. We belong to Christ. Ephesians 1:13 and to 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. He's the guarantee. Holy Spirit guarantees my relationship with God and my citizenship in heaven. It's way better than a warranty. A warranty just fixed broken parts. This is the guarantee nothing's breaking. This is true and firm. It's way, way better than a warranty. So just think about your body this week. Excuse me. You are a temple of the Holy God. We are a temple of the Holy God. In all praise to his name. Another thing is that the Lord has established in me righteousness, and he keeps me far away from oppression, and I'm not afraid. I will be far from terror, for it has not come near me, is what says in Isaiah. It says, I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared me for before I would walk in them. He prepared something for us to walk in. Before I was ready to walk in it, it's already there. It's already waiting for you to take that step and to walk where he guides us and goes. We were created to do good works. Now, good works could be darn near anything in this day and age. But to know that each day we could say, okay, Lord, what did you create for me today? Where am I going? What do I need to do? Sometimes it's easy to just go about life without acknowledging that you're not a single person in you. You're walking with someone else. So it's like, Jesus, where are we going? Who do you want me to meet? You know, last week Shannon shared, and she's talked about, you might have to pray for someone in Walmart. Well, actually a pastor that we know, his name is Jimmy Bratcher. He's from the States. Him and his wife they weren't saved at that point. They were in a rough time, and she had little children, and they were separated. She was in a Walmart store. She was in a Walmart. This poor mom, her kids in the thing, rag them up, worn out. Her husband's on his motorbike doing whatever the heck he wants to be in this big band. And someone came to her and said, I think I'm supposed to pray for you. And they prayed for her. And they prayed for her and said, you know what? Maybe you and the kids want to come to church with us. Her and the kids started going to church. Well, then he started seeing, like, they were not apart, but he'd get to see the kids. And he said, what? Like, what's going on? And so she said, well, maybe you'd like to come to church. So, of course, this motorbike rock star guy goes to church. Jimmy goes to church with her. He gets saved. Well, now he's a huge pastor. Huge pastor. I mean, not in like the mega money, because he doesn't care about money. He ministers at Sturgis always, always, always to the motorcycle people. Goes all over there, does it all. He pastors his own church. I believe they're in Kansas now, but Sherry and him. But it's just neat to see. It's like, okay, here we were, you know, in the late, whenever Walmart, they're an American, so they had Walmart before we did. Walmart, some person was faithful to who God said to speak. And this man has been able to go, that family's grown up in the Lord, and preach. So it's not so far-fetched. It's not so far-fetched to do that. It's not, you go to the mechanic. I tell my mechanic, does good work, and it works every time. I said, see, this is why you pray for your mechanic. And he just laughs every time. But it's like, yeah, that's why you got to pray for your mechanic. But just be excited. I want you to be excited. I want to be excited. To see, God, what do you got for me? What's the thing today? You know, really, it's really, we're in a world that you do see sadness. But we're full of joy. We should be able to get up every day with that joy and say, what next, God? What next? What are we doing? No matter how tired we are. The word says that you have received abundant grace in Romans 5:17. For if by the trespasses of one, death reigned through that one man, how much more would those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Are you reigning? Are you reigning in your life? That's a question we need to ask each time. Are we walking in victory? And if I'm not, what do I see for the future, the end of 2025? How do I see that reigning change? How do I see that changing so that I'm not in the same place today, but I'm even in some place greater that God's called me to? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's from Ephesians. You know, the word is so full of God's promises, so full of everything. And if we just would take that time to get them from our head to our heart and to live out of our heart, it would make such a difference. So many scriptures talk about out of the heart our mouth speaks. So if you're starting, I can't even remember where that is, but Crystal would know that. Crystal knows the address. Oh yeah, Jesus. But out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So if I'm starting to speak negatively, I'm starting to speak condemnation to situations or even to myself, not believing, I need to take a check. That's a check for me, because then something's not right in my heart. And we need to go back and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what? Show me. Show me the correction. Show me the right path. And often he's already convicted you of it. You've already kind of know it's like, that wasn't right. And he redirects you. So just remember, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And I have some papers here this morning because I wanted us to kind of go into groups to discuss it, because there's a lot to kind of be said. I have the scriptures for you of who you are established in. But if we could pass these around, and they're on the back of the paper are some questions. And if you can kind of come together in groups. Oh, could I have one, please? Just because I don't have the questions. Because we want to share some thoughts. Oh, I should have got, I'll get that microphone when you're doing it. You can give them one each. I made enough for 25, I think, or 24. There should be enough. So if you can come together in that group, and that scripture from Philippians that talked about us being same mind as Christ Jesus, I want you to talk about, how do you see our church body walking this scripture out in our lives, and just be able to share some of those thoughts. And then the next one is, what does it look like for you having Holy Spirit living in you? How does he help in your life and your walk with God? And you can share in your group. And then, do you believe you're blessed with every spiritual blessing? So just talk about those things. And then at the end of that, we'll get someone from your group to share what you thought. So we got maybe 10 minutes to talk about those things. It's not very long with everyone talking, but. So we're just going to take another minute. So if you want to, we'll wrap up your discussion. Does anyone here want to share what you guys? So we'll have this group share something, their thoughts. It doesn't have to be you. I'm just handing you the microphone. What you guys talked about or came to thought.
One thought that Angela shared that I think was really cool is answering the question, what does it look like for you having the Holy Spirit living in you? And she was kind of lamenting about struggling with that, but then mentioned asking Holy Spirit for help. And I thought, well, there isn't that a big part of it. It isn't so much necessarily how good you are, how good you live, or this or that, or amazing things, but knowing that you can ask for help. Mm-hmm. And that, isn't that just part of having the Holy Spirit living in you? You can ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else wanted to share something? No? Joyce? All right. Anyone have something here, back here to share?
This church body is amazing, and I think it for sure, as a body, we do have the same mindset as Christ and imitate Christ's humility. I don't know anyone who has walked through the doors of this building and not felt the love in this building. Just being here for each other as we've grown together, we know that there's always someone here to support you. And just the cupboard downstairs is that reach out for the love. The focus there needs to be again on Jesus, and what can we do to show that love?
Do you believe you are blessed with every spiritual blessing? I know there's days when I feel that I'm not. My human condition gets in the road sometimes of recognizing what God has provided for me and the spiritual blessings that he has for me. And that's my human shortfall. It's not a shortfall of the Holy Spirit not providing those blessings. So those days when you feel down, things of the world come against you, just remember that those blessings are there and they are available for you if you will ask and grasp on to them.
Sorry, good. Thank you. It's good. Okay. Trevor? Oh, you got one more? I'll come back.
One thought that came to mind. How do you see our church body walking out in the scripture in our lives? One experience I had was going through a store and seeing one of the clerks look at me kind of different. And I thought, okay, is there something on my face or what? But it was probably a kid that we had at our kids club when we had a feeding program and ministry with that. And you could tell the look in his eye, he looked at you different than a normal customer or somebody else. And, you know, you could see there's something that kind of clicked in his brain of, hey, there's something going on there. So
it's good. I'll just go back and then I'll come up to the other group.
Two stories this morning. I'll share one later. But the other day, what I was just talking about happened to me. I had a day where I was really feeling down. I was concerned about a couple situations in the cupboard, and I felt alone. And I stopped at the Goat for coffee for my daily latte. And Jessie, I'm not sure if you folks know her or not, very good Christian girl. She asked me how I was doing, and I said, okay. And she says, you look like you're kind of down today. And the tears came. Because I was really feeling down. And she said, I want to pray for you. So she did, right there at the counter.
Awesome.
She took my hands, and she prayed for me. And that's how God's blessings flow to us. And let us use that example when we see someone that's down and isn't feeling those blessings. There's something we can do about it, mm-hmm. Each and every one of us.
That's good. I'll sneak back this way. Betty, did you want to share your thing? start here? Someone else got something? You okay? You got a couple minutes.
We were just we didn't kind of get past the first question.
That's all right.
I had just shared that I've been in a lot of church cultures and a lot of churches. And one thing especially that characterizes Camrose Community Church is really a spirit of gentleness and humility, mm-hmm. of not people aggressively putting themselves forward or self-promoting. You almost have to always ask someone and to step in, and they want to. They're just, you know, just more gentle, more modest. And in most churches, the problem is the spirit of control that dominates everything, and you always have to work against it. So it is very refreshing to be part of a body where that's the exception and definitely not the rule.
Super. Betty, you had that, so sure.
Well, there's a couple of things. If we're not part of the solution, then we're the problem. And I think as a church, I need to be looking for being the solution to the problem, that whatever's around us, and allowing God to work through us. First of all, we have to be available for that. And so I've read that book, Let's Take Our Job Back, and it talks about the church in Acts. And I was really challenged by that book, to the point where I said, okay, God, I'm ready. Am I? I don't know. Anyhow, the other day, Joyce and I were out walking around the loop here, the lake, and she goes, there's a man laying there. And I go, well, there is? Where? And then she spotted him, and somebody was under this blanket. And I thought, well, I wonder if they're dead or alive. And so I walked over there, and I said, hello, are you okay? And pretty soon this young man's head pokes out of under the blanket, and he says, yeah, I'm okay. I says, well, I just thought I wanted to ask if you needed anything. Are you warm? And all of a sudden, then he pulls back the blanket, and there's his dog with him. And I asked him if he needed it, and he says, no, I'm okay, but thanks for asking. You know, and so you just know that, are you willing to, you know, maybe what if they wouldn't have moved? Like, then I could have. Could have been anything, right? So are we being the solution? But something happened to me twice now this past year, where I've been sitting in the house and somebody ran into my car, and one by a motorcycle getting lodged underneath the front, and blah blah blah. Then the other day, just before Christmas, I was in there and the doorbell rings and this lady comes in and she says, I hit your car. And I'm going, I mean, I didn't even react. It was like, okay. And she was profusely sorry, right? But I go to the thing to get them, Mr. Fix-It or whatever, Fix Auto, and they wanted $200 or something just to look at it. And I thought, God, how can I fix this? And he just goes, go put the propane heater, blow it on the car till it warms up, and then start whacking it. And I go, okay, I can do that. I went out there, and I got it all popped back in. And the lady, she took my number, and she says, like, I'll pay anything. I says, you know what? I got it all popped back in. It's no problem. And then she texts me, and she says, thank you so much for being kind, honest, you know, caring. It really meant a lot. And she says, the world would be a better place if there was people like you. Awesome. And I thought, you know, that wasn't really me, probably. I know it was God that gave me the kindness, and it all worked out. And she left money in my mailbox, and then she just kept texting me about different things. And it was like, anyhow, God gives us opportunities. Awesome. Do we see them? And are we going to be part of the solution?
That's right.
And our lives speak so much, how willing we are to follow him.
That's good. Thanks, Betty. You know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, or gentle person in us, and he will not make you do something that you don't want to do, but he will keep talking to your heart till you're ready to do that and ready to be that. So it's like, so there's no fear. It's like you might get a word, a prophetic word, and you're like, well, I can't give that. It'll be okay, because you didn't fail in the whole scheme of God's plan because you didn't do your part. Salvation in the world's messages aren't all on one person's shoulder. We're a body. So the whole body is going to be working together and doing those things. But you know, when he gives you a word and you're afraid this time, just say, God, I'm just going to take that for something for me. But you show me next time. Because sometimes you really aren't sure if that's for everybody or just for yourself. And so it's okay to be cautious. But it's all part of learning and growing to who we are in Christ. Even that word of encouragement, sometimes it's when you get in the car, it's like, darn, I should have said that. But it's like, you don't need to, like, just then pray. Lord, show them what you showed me. And trust God will keep and be faithful. So on that paper I gave you, there's a little declaration. Oh, I suppose I'm not on the right place now because I'm not in the film. But let's just, well, you can stand if you want. Sometimes standing's better. You don't have to stand. The Spirit of truth abides in me and teaches me all things. Holy Spirit guides me into all truth. Therefore, I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways I acknowledge him, and he directs my path. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me, because I have let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. I will follow the good shepherd. I know his voice, and I will not follow after a stranger. Jesus has made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I am filled with the knowledge of all of his will in all wisdom and understanding. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you've got time for coffee. Grab a coffee, and we'll be ready for worship.